Karen Conti is on the line, and we are going to talk some legal stories here. And here is Karen. Hey, Karen, do you have a junk food that you enjoy?
I don't eat a lot of junk food, but when I do, I can't stop eating caramel corn.
That's good stuff.
Caramel corn, I could eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I could wake up in the middle of the night and eat it. Yes, that is my downfall.
Okay. Well, listen, I consider it
a vegetable serving, though.
It is. Sure, it's corn.
It's corn.
It's corn. Of course it is. Yeah, absolutely. Now, we want to talk about the Cosby case and many of the things about the Cosby case. But before we do, obviously one of the big stories, and it has legal ramifications, huge legal ramifications, is President Obama's proposed changes and the executive order that he gave. Now, my question is, historically, Karen, can you talk a little bit about the differences between what happens during executive orders and actual changing laws?
Yeah, it's a thin line. And just to put it in perspective, I think everyone perceives Obama as using this executive power all the time. But really, he's not a frequent user of it compared to other presidents. I mean, President Clinton used it all the time. FDR used it 3,000 times. So the question is, of course, separation of powers. So the president can only deal with executive issues, and of course the Congress are the only ones who can make laws. So if Obama is making a law, then that's wrong, and that's a violation. So in this case, and again, I don't know how I come down on this, but it seems to me that what he's doing is more hiring, more background checks, enforcing laws that aren't being enforced, more examiners, more ATF people. Those types of things, to me, are all executive. Those are ways to enforce the already existing laws. Where we come close to changing the laws is, do we call a gun dealer, an anti-gun dealer, a gun dealer, and make him do all the things that a normal gun dealer would have to do? And I don't know. I don't know where I come down on that, because I'm not sure exactly how those things are going to be enforced. Does that actually change the laws of the state? I'm not sure that it does. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there saying it would. But, you know, big picture, I think sometimes presidents will enact these executive orders with the idea that, all right, Congress, now you guys do what you should do. The public likes this idea. They think it's a good idea. Now you guys enact the laws, be consistent with my executive orders. And maybe that's what he's hoping.
Okay. All right. Well, Karen, we want to get your thoughts on that. But when we come back, we'll take a break. Okay, Karen, hang on.
Sure.
Karen Conti is with us. She's our legal expert. And this Bill Cosby case is... there's a lot of stuff going on, and a lot of it that I don't understand, and that's why Karen is here. I don't understand a lot of things, and that's why I have experts come on and talk to me about it. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio here. And I'm filling in for Steve. He's got the day off because of a covert mission that he's on that we can't really talk about.
Shh, don't talk about it.
I know we can't talk about it. But he'll be back tomorrow morning, and I will be back on my regular show from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. But we're talking with Karen Conti, who is our legal expert. And Karen, what an incredibly interesting case this Bill Cosby thing has turned out to be. You've been following it, yes?
I have, absolutely.
And what are the most interesting? What are the most interesting aspects for you? What do you find most fascinating about it?
Well, I find fascinating how a defense lawyer starts to spin Bill Cosby, because, you know, he had such a great reputation to begin with, as everyone thought. He was this grandfatherly role model, great guy, standing up for the right thing. And now, you know, he's been accused by 40 people. So here's what the defense lawyer I see is doing in the case, the criminal case out in Pennsylvania. You know, she's talking about him. He comes into court. He saw him. He's kind of hobbling. He's stumbling. She talked about his eye condition. Apparently, he's got this degenerative eye condition
right.
That makes him blind.
Right.
And now, you know, I think the spin from what I see is going to be that, you know, the woman is about 6'1". She was a very prominent college athlete, so she was in good shape. And here was this grandfatherly guy who's now stumbling, and he's 78 years old. How could he overpower her? Why would he overpower her? That's not what he would do. And that's going to be the spin for the jury, probably even for the judge who's going to sentence Cosby if he's convicted. And I find it fascinating that she's already starting that whole spin. Mm. And that's things that I'm not criticizing it, because that's what lawyers do. That's what we do to zealously advocate for our client. But I'm seeing that loud and clear. I'm wondering if your listeners see the same thing.
Now, you know, you mentioned the eye condition. How is that relevant to the case? Just to make him look less powerful?
Right. I mean, I mean, it's not relevant. I mean, if the woman had an eye condition, you could say, well, she didn't know who was attacking her because she couldn't see. But how in the world is that relevant to anything? No, it's not. And I think that's all the sympathy vote. And, you know, Nick, it's interesting. You see this over the years. Do you remember the Menendez brothers?
Sure.
You remember him? They were in the 90s. And they were convicted of killing their parents. Well, they put them in suits. Remember that? And
yep.
Then all of a sudden they appeared in these big, bulky kind of oversized sweaters. And the whole point was we're going to make these kids look like kids. And we're going to make people feel sorry for them because they're just kids instead of, you know, half-grown adults. And I think the spin, you know, goes on all the time with criminal defendants. And that's what's going to happen with Cosby.
Let me talk a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about the wife being compelled to testify. Is this sort of groundbreaking? Does this happen all the time? And what do you think is going to be the outcome there? And explain to people what that is.
Yeah, a deposition is a statement taken under oath, and you get to depose anyone you want basically within reason unless you're harassing somebody. And in this case, this is not the criminal case. This is the civil case. So these women are suing Cosby, saying that he lied about denying the fact that there was a rape. He, in fact, sued them back, remember, for defamation. Mm. So there's a lawsuit on both sides. He's claiming he lost business because of their false statements. Well, Camille Cosby is the business manager for Bill Cosby. So the other side said, well, if you're going to claim that you have damages, we want to depose your wife and ask her about these things. Clearly, that's relevant. There's a rule that says that in criminal cases, you can't compel spouses to testify against each other. Remember, this is not a criminal case. They tried that. Didn't work. The judge was right. The judge said, yes, you have to testify. There's a very limited amount of things that are privileged, meaning like if they had a very confidential conversation, that's off the table. But almost everything else that she would testify about is clear. And it's available, and both sides can call her to the stand. And I think this is just a tactic to delay. It's a tactic to claim there's harassment. But when you're in litigation, almost anything is fair game.
Okay. Now, what about the other accusers? And there have been how many? Over 40? Is that the number? Yeah.
It's hard to keep track.
Oh, God. That's
my abacus.
Yeah. Yeah. How does that fall in, and what are the significance of them being deposed?
Well, I think it's all going to depend, and this I'm going to go back to the criminal case. I think it all depends on whether or not the judge is going to allow the testimony of all these other women into these other courts. And everyone says, well, of course they are. Isn't it important for the jury to know that Bill Cosby is accused of doing these things over and over again? And doesn't that make it more likely that he did it this particular time? And that sounds like common sense, but sometimes the law is not common sense. And the law doesn't allow the jury to hear prior bad acts. That's what this is, acts over and over again, unless and there's certain exceptions to that rule. But it's going to be a thin line as to whether the judge is going to allow those other women to testify. If those women are allowed to testify, I think Cosby's going to lose for obvious reasons if the jury hears 40 women saying the same thing. And then I think they're going to be deposed. But I think that is the first threshold here as to whether or not there's a viable case. Will the women get to testify?
You know, you were talking about how the lawyers spin their clients, put a spin on them. What was your reaction to the footage that everybody watched a million times of Cosby being escorted into the police? He looked like I'd never seen Cosby look as sad, like overtly, insanely, over the top sad, and he could barely walk, and he was helped in. How much of that is spin? How much of that is real, in your opinion?
You know, I don't know, and we haven't seen him, you know, maybe in a while. But I do know that just within the last couple months, he was doing three-hour shows. And I do know, and you know, is doing stand-up and all these things. I mean, it takes a lot of energy to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it's spin. You know, I don't know, and I'm not going to, you know, put words in anyone's mouth. But, I do think it's spin. I do. I think this is what they're going to do. I think they're going for the sympathy vote. They're going for here's the old guy. Why would you put him in jail now? Even if you think he did it, feel sorry for him. And it works sometimes, you know, and that might be their best tool.
When you watch coverage of – this is just a general question, Karen. When you watch coverage of high-profile cases like this, and you see footage of certain things, you just go, oh, come on. Do you sit in front of the TV and go, come on, nice move, man? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, and it's probably more like a sports guy watching a game.
Right.
Instead of being a fan, you're analyzing it more. You're like taking an out-of-body experience. I'm going, okay, that's what, first of all, he hires a female lawyer. I get it. The lawyer's going to be sitting next to him, and everyone's going to go, wow, if he didn't like women, and if he was going to attack women, is this woman afraid of him? So that's number one, and I'm looking at it real analytically. Why is he doing this? Who told him to do it? Does he have somebody who's advising him? No, I'm much more analytical than I am.
Well, fascinating stuff. And again, Karen, we always like to throw this out here. If people, you know, need some advice or want to get in contact with you for legal reasons, how can people do that?
You can call me at 312-332-7800 or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com. And I just want to say, if I were the judge, the issue of whether a chocolate chip cookie is candy is, yes, it is.
Oh, you see that, Mary?
No.
That's it. You're done. You're screwed. Karen Conti says it's candy. You're done. She's going to fight that in court, Karen.
I'm
can you represent
it.
Her?
I'll try the best I can.
It's a case she's not going to touch, Mary. I'm
Karen.
Sorry. All right, Karen. Thanks a lot.